Good afternoon, everybody. Brian Newbert here from goldenblack.com. This is a kind of an eventful day in the college football world. We've all been kind of sitting around waiting to find out how the shoe was going to drop. The football season coming up, something happened today. The Big Ten made an announcement, as goldenblack.com reported yesterday would happen, that the Big Ten is only going to play Big Ten games this year. Non-conference games are off. It will be a 10-game Big Ten season, again, with the qualifier that there are games at all. I think that's still very much up in the air. But if there are games, they will only be of the Big Ten on Big Ten variety. This means no Air Force, no Memphis, and no trip to Boston College for Purdue this season. I am here with my colleague, Tom Beanhart, for a quick goldenblack.com, Golden Black Express podcast. I'm a little bit out of practice doing this, so you're going to have to bear with me here. This is brought to you by our sponsors, Follett's Purdue Bookstores, Purdue Federal Credit Union, Sixth Street Dive Restaurant, First Source Bank, East End Grill, and the Chargers Team Remax Ability Plus. I want to remind you once again of some of our other friends of the family at Arnie's in Lafayette, West Lafayette, and all over the place. Bruno's in West Lafayette, the Whitaker Inn in West Lafayette, Smee's Place on the north side of Indianapolis, and on down the line. So thank you to them, as always, for their support. And once again, I'm here with Tom, who kind of sort of broke this story yesterday. So Tom, just to start off, can you kind of just give everybody sort of a primer on what's going on here and what exactly today's announcement means?
Yeah, I mean, this obviously in response, Brian, as everybody knows, to the pandemic that's gripped the world and the response to that. And we all know the importance college football has for these athletic departments when it comes to financial solvency. They need to play football to keep these athletic departments afloat. And nobody knows for sure, you know, how this is all going to unfold, but everybody's got to make plans and hope for the best. And that's what this is. They're truncating the season. I think they believe, Brian, by just playing 10 games in your own family, you all can have similar health protocols and not invite any outside sources from other conferences that may not be quite as vigilant as you, may not have similar health protocols as you. Just eliminate that X factor altogether. And again, like I said, you got like-minded schools all under one umbrella. You can all work in uniformity, have similar procedures, and hopefully guarantee that everybody's doing the same thing, which hopefully, Brian, would limit or at least lessen the likelihood of players becoming infected by players from other schools. So that's really the push for this. The ramifications are huge. Yeah. We could talk for hours about the ramifications and the what ifs. This may not even happen, as you know, Brian, and all the listeners know. This whole season can still blow up on us. But like I said, we have to plan, right? We have to hope for the best. And this is a scenario, I think, if they can pull it off, a shorter season, with some built-in bye weeks, maybe it'll work. Again, there's thought, Ryan, that maybe there's going to be 2 weeks of games and a week off. 2 weeks of games, then a week off. Build in these bye weeks in case games have to be made up, in case teams have to cancel games because of being quarantined players. So, again, this is a structure that the Big Ten hopes will allow it to at least get some form of a season in.
Yeah. As you understand it, it is supposed to be a pretty open schedule, right, to where if there are incidents, flare-ups, whatever term you want to use, games could even be moved around. Is that that is just impossible to wrap my head around. Just if there's a game scheduled for Saturday, we could find out Tuesday, hey, we can't play this week. We're going to play this date instead.
Yeah, flexibility is key. I think this is unlike anything any of us have experienced. And nobody likes the unknown. We've been walking in the dark on a lot of different fronts for several months now. And it continues, but you know, this will at least provide some structure moving forward from a college football standpoint. And again, flexibility, flexibility, flexibility. That's going to be key because as you talked about, Ryan, things could change on the fly. And that's another reason why it's good to work just within your conference. You know, you're only affecting each other, and I think maybe you can be a little bit more nimble if you have to reschedule a game for some crazy reason. Right. Again, working within your own family, it may be a little easier and less, you know, obstructive to do so.
Yeah, yeah. So Purdue will now have to add a game, correct?
Yeah, yeah. Now, right now, Brian, Big Ten West foes in 2020 have 4 Big Ten home games and 5 road games. The East Division teams have 5 Big Ten home games and 4 Big Ten road games. So you would think, logic dictates, right, that teams in the West, like Purdue, are going to have to add a Big Ten home game to balance out their schedule with 5 home games and 5 road games.
Right.
Now, right now, Purdue has cross-division games at Michigan, at Indiana, and Rutgers is supposed to come to West Lafayette. So you presume, obviously, Purdue would add a Big Ten East foe, right? And I posted on a message board a few times the last week that, to me, the logical opponent would be Michigan State. Mm-hmm. They are, of all the Big Ten East teams, Brian, they have the longest drought of appearing in West Lafayette. I think their last game at Purdue was in 2014. We've seen Michigan, Ohio State. I guess I'd have to look for Penn State, but they just played Penn State last year on the road. So maybe I eliminated them because of that. But anyway, we'll see what happens. But again, you assume Purdue's going to add a home game against a Big Ten East foe to try to balance out its schedule. But we'll see how that plays out here shortly, I'm sure.
Right, right. Now, my very, very small contribution to this story was that I looked up the contracts for the games that are now off. And Purdue was due to pay Air Force $800,000. They were due to pay Memphis $750,000. And they were due to get $250,000 from Boston College. The other $250,000 that was going to come to Purdue from the 2018 game, presumably having already been paid off. I don't think you really save anything there, but what I'm kind of getting at here in a roundabout way is that, you know, we're talking about this from a Big Ten perspective and what this means for the Big Ten. The other part of this story and the much more impactful part of this story is the fact that Air Force is out $800,000. Mm-hmm. Now, to make this clear, Purdue's contracts do have force majeure. I don't know if that's how you pronounce it or not. It sounds like soup du jour. But force majeure provisions in them where schools are off the hook for the payout in the event of all sorts of things that would prevent the game from being played. As long as reasonable efforts are made to make the game happen. Now, with the Big Ten having issued this league-wide policy, I am not a lawyer, my guess is that probably insulates Purdue and other Big Ten schools from being taken to court for not making every effort as an institution to play these games. But in a roundabout way here, I'm getting to my point. Air Force is probably out $800,000. That's a very important $800,000 to Air Force's athletic department. Memphis is out $750,000. That is a very important $750,000 to their athletic department. And schools all over the country who had non-conference games with the Big Ten. And the Big Ten is not the only conference that's going to do this. You're going to see a lot of other conferences go to conference-only schedules. That is going to leave Group of Five, mid-majors, low-majors, FCS programs in a really, really bad spot. Tom, what do you think the ramifications financially are going to be all across all levels of college football here from this? Because this seems devastating.
Yeah, financially, again, that's a huge area, Brian. And we've already seen some ramifications or some fallout already across the nation within the last month, right? We saw Stanford recently cancel 11 sports. I know some other schools have canceled sports even in the weeks leading up to this week. And we've heard about some furloughs at some schools, some layoffs. And again, that was just a trickle, Brian. Now with this news coming out, especially at the Group of Five level for those schools, you'd have to think the fallout, the negative fallout, the ramifications could really be catastrophic, may not be too hard of a word.
Right, right.
Could see more sports canceled at MAC schools, at Sunbelt schools, at Conference USA schools, at Mountain West schools. Could see furloughs. These schools have to make do some belt tightening,
right,
to compensate for not having this revenue that they're typically used to getting from these non-conference games. So, yeah, those seem to be the schools that could be hit the hardest here moving forward. So, yeah, on and on it goes, Brian. I mean, my mind races then to what happens to the bowl games. Will we still have a playoff? I mean, that's way down in the future. But sitting right in front of everybody's eyes right now, especially the ADs, are those financial questions that you talked about.
Yeah. This is devastating financial news to smaller programs all around the country, but this is no small deal to the Big Ten either. I mean, just looking at this from Purdue's perspective, you know, when I last talked to Mike Babinski about all this, he was mentioning their projection being at least a $10 million shortfall from next year's budget, from last year's budget. When comparing what we have now right in front of us to what how things are supposed to be, this is now two home football weekends you're losing. Theoretically, you're getting one back because you add another Big Ten game. But these are two home weekends where you would have sold a lot of tickets, not as many as some other games, but you would have had a lot of revenue come through those doors for those non-conference games. You're replacing it with a game where, under the conditions we know them now, we have no idea what capacity is going to look like if fans are even in the place. Purdue's been hoping for at least 25% capacity. We have no idea. You're down two home weekends from what normally you would be planning on. Purdue is going to take a real hit here, obviously. And, you know, that $10 million that Purdue's athletic director has been projecting having to cut out of the budget might now look a little bit light. And, you know, we are faced with more questions beyond this today. Obviously, there are no certainties whatsoever that this 10-game Big Ten schedule is even going to be played. If it is, how many people are going to be in the stands? And this is just a catastrophic event for college football. College football is only one small part of the world, and obviously so many other parts of the world have been impacted in a much, much graver way than this. But we cover college football, so we're here to talk about college football, and this is a really, really trying time for the sport of college football. So, Tom, you have anything else to add about all this?
Well, just
after my rambling?
If you're Kevin Warren in the Big Ten and you're only playing Big Ten games all year, there's no Central Michigan against Michigan State, there's no Ball State against Indiana. My point is, Brian, all your inventory is going to be pretty good games, right? Not as many, but all your inventory are going to be good games. You wonder, somebody opined to me that maybe they could extract some more money from the TV networks by having a better quality of inventory. Who knows, maybe you get creative and start playing some games on weeknights.
Yeah.
Instead of having Saturdays flooded with games, if the TV networks say, hey, we'll pay you a little bit more money if you give us Big Ten, if you give us a Thursday night and a Friday night game in addition to three Saturday games or whatever. So maybe this is a time where your conference office has to get creative with the TV networks. Maybe you get more creative with your sponsorships if you're a school, stuff that can be shown on television. I don't know, but I wouldn't count on gate receipt much. I think you would agree with that. Anything you got from your gate, I think, is a bonus. But you got to focus on maximizing your television dollars. And with a more desirable inventory of games, maybe that could happen. Or maybe I'm just dreaming. But again, at this point, you have to start thinking of ideas to increase your revenue if you're any conference.
Right, right. I'm delving outside my frame of expertise here. Not that I'm an expert on anything, but it would be interesting to see about the TV money, if there's any adjustment made there. You know, the Big Ten's media partners haven't been immune to all of this as well, and they're at the mercy of advertising dollars, all of this stuff. It's going to be interesting to see 5 years down the line. Somebody needs to do a gigantic story about just the business of all of this, how all of the numbers worked out. But to conclude this podcast, I just wanted to underscore a couple of points you made. I think it's important that at least if you can have a season, you have a Big Ten season. That way you don't have a gap in your history. Mm-hmm. But also, I think the point you made was a good one that nobody's talking about, that by playing only Big Ten teams, you're at least giving yourself a chance to know you have a universal testing and a universal oversight protocol in place here. Because when you're playing a power program versus a not so power program, the standards, the expenses might be different, and you might not be able to guarantee the same level of oversight of management of the virus should it require management. We know it will require oversight, but I think that's a really important point here, that I am glad you made right off the bat, because I didn't see a lot of people talk about that right away when the news of this broke. So
everybody's supposedly going to do the same thing, Brian. From Nebraska to Rutgers, you're going to ideally have every Big Ten institution doing the same exact thing from a testing and a protocol standpoint.
Right. And this is the ultimate moving target, because you also don't know, you know, states have been hit differently by this thing. And it's going to be really interesting to see, like Rutgers is a great example. New Jersey's gotten belted by this thing over the course of the whole process. And it will be interesting to see when there are future waves of this, presuming there are, when flu season draws near, whatever it may be, how different parts of the country are affected, and then that how that affects college football. But once again, every question that gets answered about all of this only breeds 100 more questions. So
real quick too, I'm hearing that the Pac-12 and the ACC soon will make this same decision, this same choice. Yeah, I'm hearing the SEC is going to probably wait until later this month. Not sure about the Big 12, but long story short, I think you talked about it earlier too, Brian. I think we're going to see every Power Five conference probably stay within its own family this year.
Right, right. So with the looming prospect of the Power Five becoming its own NCAA altogether for a year anyway, we will conclude this podcast. Once again, this has been your Golden Black Radio Express newsy, I guess, podcast about the Big Ten's announcement today about college football season. It has been brought to you by our sponsors, Fox Purdue Bookstores, Purdue Federal Credit Union, the Sixth Street Dive Restaurant, First Source Bank, East End Grill, and the Chargers Team Remax Ability Plus. I want to remind you once again about our other friends of the family in the restaurant business, those being Arnie's in Lafayette, West Lafayette, and all over the place. Bruno's in West Lafayette, the Whitaker Inn in West Lafayette, out by Harrison High School, and Smee's Place on the north side of Indianapolis. The Triple X as well. If you don't know where that is, you don't know Purdue very well. So that's what we got, everybody. Thank you so much for listening, and we will talk to you after a football game, hopefully when one is played. Thanks, everybody.
Take care.